operation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regard to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself the item of business relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will now be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended.
Sorry, can I ask?
Yeah.
Sorry, can I ask that people go on mute, please? For some background noise coming through.
Where we can mute themselves, it's quite. One, you need this answer.
We exploit and use correctly and sustainably can bring a lot of jobs, a lot of money, a lot
someone
of jobs into our country.
Thank you. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording or comment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their camera are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as a proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Thank you. So, is there any apologies? Any apologies? I think we're all here, bar Councillor Clark. Any apologies? I'm no chairperson's remarks other than to say that there is a stretch in the evening, which is great. Item number two is declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest?
Chair, I've actually recorded a letter from Chatham and the Carlingford Greenway is a member of the East Border region that's involved in that project. So I'll leave to the duration of that discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews.
So will I. I'm also a member of the East Border region, so I'll step into that as well.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Okay. Item number three is the action sheet. So if we go through that page by page, page number one, page number two, page number three, page number four, page number five, and that's the action sheet. Could I get a Councillor Savage, if you have a question related to the action sheet? Councillor Savage? Councillor Savage?
Councillor Savage is on mute.
Sorry, Chair, can you see me now?
Yeah, I can see and hear you, which is an improvement in not
well,
seeing or
hearing. Well, I thought about it, but it relates to the action sheet in relation to the first item on the first page, in relation to the housing needs symposium. I just want to pay tribute to Connor for the work that he's carrying out on that, and I'm hoping that things will progress. Just a question on when are we anticipating potentially running the conference or the symposium? Are we of a view that this should be something we do online, or are we looking potentially later in the year subject to relaxation of restrictions? I would hope, based on the progress we've made to date, that we would have a much more expanded guest list or invitation list of people participating in it, given the fact that there were people expressed an interest following the first one that we did. And I know that the time is ripe there, I know, with the Department of Communities Minister expressing an interest in changing the way that the Housing Executive operates in the future. So there's a lot to be discussed. And, Chair, you know, obviously the one thing that has stayed very much stable within our district and certainly within the Greater Newry area is the growing housing need. So, Chair, it's just really to see, you know, what progress we have made in relation to potentially marking out dates, and, you know, what is the view of the committee and when we should potentially hold this. Should we look at an online event, or should we look potentially at a later in the year event and hold it and host it potentially in the venue? I am conscious, of course, that, you know, a lot of our venues and hotels, etc., will be looking some form of trade whenever we come out of the restrictions. So maybe an idea to maybe have it later in the year to allow time to prepare a more detailed agenda and maybe look towards having that in a venue where we're able to support our hospitality sector as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Mr. Mallon, is that someone that you can pick up on?
Yes, thanks, Chair. Michael, as you know, this is very early stages. I'm going to be establishing a small team that's going to deliver this event and drawing on past experiences and the people who were involved previously in the symposium and the events from community planning section within the council. It'll also be necessary to pull together sort of an event plan and look at speakers and look at an agenda and a running order and trying to secure speakers and trying to secure the correct marketing so as we market it properly and we get as the reach that we need to get for people coming to attend the event. So I would probably agree that it would be reasonable to assume that it's going to be late summer, early autumn, to give us time both to ensure that we have a real high quality event and that we have give it time for maybe some recovery from the pandemic, where we may be in a position to hold this physically rather than remotely, because I think the benefits of it holding it physically far outweigh those of holding it remotely, as we experience on a weekly basis. So I hope that's the clarity you've asked.
Yeah, and I'd be very much on the same page as you, Conor, on that, and appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Savage and Councillor Mallon. I think, yes, I think, yeah, a recovery to hold physically would be in everybody's forethoughts at the minute. I think I need a proposer and a seconder for the action sheet. Is that, yeah? Proposer and seconder, please. Okay, so, Roisin Mulgrew has got the P for proposal, and Declan McAteer is the S for seconder, so I'm happy to take that if that's okay. Moving on. Item number four is full fibre operational costs, and this is being taken by Mr. McGilley. Mr. McGilley.
Chairman, thank you. As councillors will be aware, the council, Newry Morning Down District Council, is leading the consortium on behalf of 10 councils across Northern Ireland and has secured funding from DCMS to deliver the full fibre network programme. Chairman, as you will know, there's been extensive work going on in trying to get that project procured and on the ground, and we've finally secured that. However, as a result of, I suppose, the procurement, the challenges with the procurement and bringing on board the health, all of the GP surgeries and libraries, etc., through the BSO organisation, that has taken additional time. The programme is now extended to March 2022, and as a result of that, we'll incur additional costs. Chairman, we're seeking approval, making a recommendation that the council contribute an additional £20,000 towards the operational costs. That will be at a maximum, Chairman, to roll the programme out. That will cover the staff time and some consultancy costs. However, those will only be incurred as and when required to get us over some of the hurdles with the funding organisations, Chairman. So that's the recommendation ahead of table at council. council tonight, Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McGilley. I'll just go take through the questions here. I've got a proposal to sign it, but if I'll just go through the questions. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And yeah, thanks for that, Jonathan. Just a wee question just about, you know, our ongoing contributions, which certainly I would be supportive of, but has the DCMS been asked to contribute more? Maybe they already are contributing more to, obviously, a growing amount of money that it's going to take to complete this. And secondly, I see in the figures there that there are, presumably we were going to contact, or it'll bring connectivity to 53,890 premises. Now, that's premises as opposed to households, I presume. Is that right? Because I think we have, if it's households, then the whole nearly area, we have 70,000 households, I understand, in our district.
Chairman, the DCMS are contributing towards the capital cost, so they have a contribution, Chairman, there that's detailed in the programme. I think it's around 24 million, Chairman, and that's matched by contribution from the private sector as well, Chairman. So it always had been the running costs of this were not eligible costs within the programme, Chairman. So that's the basis on which this consortium was established. Also, this FFNA project is taking funding, Chairman, to council facilities and BSO facilities. Mm-hmm. And that's the facilitation which will then lead to the utility providers using that fibre to branch out to individual property. So what we are providing is the infrastructure into the rural area. It will require then the delivery agents and the utilities to bring that further to houses, Chairman. So that's the basis on which the full fibre is established. But the management costs were not an eligible cost within the programme.
Right. So as clear, I know, like at the end of the day, all councils are going to ask to contribute 20,000.
Yeah.
But are we sure that the government are actually putting more into it? I mean, you were saying that the reason for this is because they're not eligible costs, but are they putting extra money in above and beyond the 24 million? Because we've been asked to do it, so have they been asked?
But the costs are the additional costs that are required are really around the administration and the management side, and that's there's no additional funding coming from DCMS, Chairman.
Knew the figure, presumably everybody knew the figure at the very beginning of this. So well, DCMS are found now we're going to have to put more money in. But I'm just saying, is it not only fair to ask that DCMS and the much funders put money in as well?
Well, Chairman, all the other councils have committed their funding to this, Chairman, that the money from DCMS is for the capital infrastructure that you're building, and that's the basis on which they made the offer. The administration and the complexities around that are problems that as a consortium we have had to overcome.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to bring in Mr. Mallon to finish off this point.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Just to provide some clarity, with regards to the operating team, DCMS have contributed a resource who will be work as a project manager to assist our operations team to deliver and to roll out the £24 million worth of projects. So rather than them providing us with a funding for the ops team, they've actually offered us a resource. And this guy is working very closely with us on a weekly basis to try and ensure that we meet the objectives of the funding programme. So it's not hard cash, but it's the same thing. It's a resource that has a lot of experience in delivering these projects and understands the mechanisms within DCMS to allow us to draw down the funding.
Okay. We've been in three times now. You can't remember.
That's just the one question. I haven't been in three times. That's the first time I've been in. But I could be back.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer.
Chair, I'm only asking really because I think I had asked for fibres to come to a presentation of the council, which I think we're working on to have, right? But it's just the integration of all this. And I had recently been speaking to Openreach and Fibres about certain connectivity in the area. I'm just hoping they're all talking to each other In other words, when these hubs are prepared, whether we are putting extra money into, that actually somebody will have thought this out, that there'll be, you know, that their future plans, some of them which are happening as early as autumn this year, will actually all filter into these hubs, and there won't be money wasted. You know, they will finish up with very little at the end of the day, you know, all in a heap of hubs, but no further money to take. To take the programs forward, you know, because as I think it was Jonathan or else Connor said, it is a very, very complicated system when you have so many players involved in this, you know. There's three operations involved here, but I would just like to see integration in them. The assurance that will happen. That's why we need to speak to these people.
Okay. Councillor Mulgrew, you're happy to propose, but you've also got a question.
Thank you for that, Chair. I suppose Jonathan sort of touched on my question, because I was going to ask, was he satisfied that it wouldn't exceed the £20,000? I know in the grand scheme of things that isn't a huge amount of money. You know, however, we are mindful of the difficult times that we face ahead. The bottom line is, we actually have community centres that can't run computer classes because there's no connectivity, and that was the case while I was representing Vestbrook, and we lobbied very hard to get full fibre into all of our facilities, and certainly the last 10, 11 months have shown how disadvantaged people in rural communities are. So in general, this is to be really welcomed, and you know, it's not a massive amount of money, and I'm glad to hear the officer saying that they are happy that would be you know, the maximum amount of extra that we would be asked to spend. But I think it's a very welcome initiative and happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor Savage, you're down to, well, second and a question as well.
Yes, Chair. Thanks. Thanks, Jonathan, for those answers. Some of the things touching on that raised and rushing, and I'm glad we've covered those bases. Chair, I think the big thing is that £20,000 is £20,000. I think it's money well spent, because I believe one of the biggest challenges we're going to face as a district going forward is trying to tackle what I would refer to as digital poverty, in that we have broadband reach in our rural areas, which in some cases is shockingly bad. The question really would be in relation to, do we feel that this will plug the gaps that Project Stratum, for example, will leave across the district? We have dealt with quite a number of cases, particularly in the South Armagh and parts of South Down area, we put a social media post out asking people to go and check, were they on Project Stratum, to check their broadband connectivity. And the areas that Project Stratum, for example, had outlined, it sort of was well below, the reality was well below what was there. So I think the big challenge we have going forward, to be able to compete on an economic basis, and the fact that post-COVID, a lot more business is going to be done remotely. And secondly, in relation to our young people and our children, who are, a lot of them going to be educated in a blended format, at least for some considerable time, until we get on top of the pandemic and the potential to deal with any mutations that come on board. You know, I think it's extremely important that we as a council, you know, push forward with this project. But I'd also be in line with somewhat with what Councillor McAteer is saying. It's very important that when we're putting this jigsaw puzzle of broadband connectivity together, that we don't leave any gaps, that we don't leave any poor relations across our district. And the reason for that is we already have a lot of poor relations in our district when it comes to broadband connectivity. And, you know, certainly some of us in Uri are blessed with the luxury of having fibre broadband at our fingertips at the end of our keyboards. But there are a lot of businesses out there, a lot of families, and a lot of rural families who are trying to run farm businesses, and at the same time trying to educate their children at home. And if anything, what COVID has done has shone the spotlight on probably what is our biggest need in our area. If we're going to compete and we're going to, you know, develop our young people, is that we need broadband connectivity. So, Chair, I'm very happy to second this. My question would be along the lines of, you know, will this plug gaps that Project Stratum will leave behind, and for hopefully very quickly? And, you know, basically, you know, will there be joint club thinking on this?
Chairman, I suppose in terms of Project Stratum, Project Stratum's dealing with the hard to reach areas. This is coming in at bringing fibre into rural areas. So this is the next level to increase speed. So I think it'll be important as part of the to make that clarity when we meet with Fibres to get this, the update from them. It's the same organisation delivering both programmes. However, they will, this will complement and add value to Stratum. So they are two distinct projects, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Riley, Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, just touching on what Declan and Rushing have both said, the people who are complaining to me are the same people who were complaining 5 years ago. And we've had so many studies, done so many consultations, and so much money allegedly been spent on increasing rural broadband. And I would like, Jonathan, if you could ask the internet providers to give us an indication on a map form, areas where high-speed broadband has been extended to throughout our district. That should be really easy for them to do. But if you look even at Fibres, Fibres is concentrating their resources and their upgrades in rural and urban areas. And obviously, that's a commercial decision. They're going to concentrate their resources for maximum return. But it doesn't seem to be gaining the rural areas as we were all promised. And the issue of 5G, now, I know it's very, very controversial, but what is the situation with that, Jonathan? Because if we do go for that type of network, that would actually mitigate a lot of the problems we have with rural broadband. But I would still like to get an indication from the internet providers on a map to show how they have grown their networks in the rural areas over the last couple of years even. I don't think that would be difficult for them to provide us with. Some tangible evidence that we are getting progress, because it doesn't really seem to be happening as quickly as it should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Is that some, Mr. McGilley, that we can
request that information. However, the Project Stratum has only really commenced rollout. I mean, it's rolling out over the next, between now and 2024, so that will have an impact. We can request the information and see what has been provided, but that's the timeline for Project Stratum. But it's important that the two projects, we don't get confused and think that they're both the same thing. They're not. They are different. Albeit they're being delivered by the same organisation. I think that's been both been implemented by Fibres.
Okay, thank you.
But we can request that information. I think that is probably readily available or should be easily pulled together.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Riley. Thank you all. Been proposed by Councillor McGrain, seconded by Mr. Councillor Savage. Okay, moving on is item number 5. Warren Point Front Shore task and finish, and again Mr. McGilley's taking this. Thank you, Mr. McGilley.
Chairman, really, it's just an update from the last task and finish meeting, Chairman, where at this previous meeting the proposals for the DFI's one way system were presented, Chairman, so the recommendations are contained within the report to recommend or give approval to DFA to proceed with their due process in terms of moving that project forward, and that the council progress the works around the public consultations and through the County Down Rural Network, the public perception consultation process in relation to the Front Shore scheme, Chairman, both which are linked but not integral to each other, Chairman. So that's the recommendations in the report this evening.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Ryan, if you're happy to propose and a comment, Councillor Ryan, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to follow on from Jonathan, I have to say the proposal that we got that day looked very exciting, particularly for the traffic management scheme that was put forward for the town. Something that has been long lobbied for, what I would say is that I do believe that the both schemes complement each other. I don't think one can work without the other. And I think what we need to do as we move forward with the project is that we keep the two of them running side by side, and we maintain that sort of approach that we have with the FI, that we're working together on it. And it's paramount that they don't rest on their laurels either, and they get out there and they speak to the business community and the general public as quickly as possible, because in the past, these suggestions for one-way systems or for the change of the traffic management in the town have fallen away on the wayside and haven't happened. So we have to make sure on this occasion, which I do believe myself, is a really positive proposal for the town. And will, as I said earlier on, will complement the public realm scheme. And no doubt it can be a game changer for Warren Point. Thank you, Chair. And
Chairman.
I propose that.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Rand. Do you want to come in on that, Mr. McGilley? Or
just to confirm, it was really the one-way system, why GFA are responsible for delivering that, that will be reported back through that task and finish, because it's now an opportune time if it's going to go ahead if they are integrated. So that will be fed back through, and members will be kept abreast of progress on that through the task and finish group that is established for the front door scheme. So that's how we will keep members up to speed with that. And we have asked DFA for a timeline for moving their consultation forward, so we feed that into our reporting system.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. And Councillor McAteer, are you content to second?
Yes, sir. Chair, I am indeed. Yeah. And just backing up again and further what Mickey talked about there in terms of everybody being on the same hymn sheet in this, and it is encouraging that we have actually the DFI on board, and hopefully they'll be talking to, you know, the bus operators, et cetera, because in there is park and share and park and ride as well. And I think that's, we need a whole integrated approach, because it's not an easy problem to sort out, you know, the whole movements inside the Warren Point area, especially when you go to do something pretty new and innovative like this. A whole different direction and traffic in a town. So I think that it's very important that the public engagement with especially the business community and the local community as well, that takes place and that it's carried out in as best way possible in terms of having people having their input into it, you know. So that's on those lines, it's very encouraging. And I'm content to and happy to second the proposal from Maggie Rowan.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. So, yeah, proposed by Councillor Ann and signed up by Councillor McAteer. Moving on to item number 6, which is the Warren Point Municipal Park. And again, Mr. McGilley is taking this. Mr. McGilley.
Yes, Chairman, as members will know, the Warren Point Municipal Park project has been funded through the National Lottery Heritage Fund. It was due to complete in June of this 2021 this year. Chairman, as a result, I suppose obviously the capital works are largely complete. However, the rollout of the programme did involve a degree of education and events and stuff. So due to COVID, there has been some disruptions, was probably more to the events, albeit a lot of that has moved online. However, the lottery have agreed to extend the offer of funding to December of 2021, Chairman. So we recommend that the council accept that. There's no additional funding, but it's really just some more time to spend the remaining money as opposed to return it to National Lottery, Chairman. So the recommendations are there to accept the letter of offer and also to utilise funding to establish the Friends of group that is, again, a requirement of the programme to meet some of the costs of the insurance for the first year of that group, Chairman. So that's the recommendations before the committee this evening.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. McGilley. And I thought I was going to have to go to the video ref there, but no. Councillor McAteer, are you happy to propose?
Yes, sure, I am indeed. Yeah, and again, it's very encouraging to see the leg of this development and developing on out. Probably would have happened a lot sooner only for COVID. Certainly, it's great to build on the success that's already been there in the park. And I do think the creation of a Friends of the Municipal Park will be an additional a great addition, sorry, to the whole herd in Warren Point and the buy-in by the community and that. And I know there's approval there for the first-year insurance costs to be made, but I do think that there's a case going forward for some sort of additional help there to encourage, which I think could be a very worthwhile group of people to get together and create, be very creative in Warren Point Park, you know, and build on everything that's happening there in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor McDear. Councillor Ryan, are you happy to second Councillor Ryan?
I second that, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on is item number 7. Hospitality Exchange Conference Sponsorship. This has been taken by Mr. Patterson. Mr. Patterson.
Yep, Chair. The Northern Ireland Hotels Federation is running an online event post for March. It's aimed at supporting the tourism and hospitality industry. It's really a forward look into the coming year or two for the industry and really supporting businesses, I suppose, for routes of recovery and opportunities and challenges in the longer term. So it's a relatively small amount of money, but they're seeking sponsorship of £1,000, and the recommendation is to support this event and to show council's support, ongoing support of the industry locally.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Patterson. Councillor Burgess, you're in there to propose and pass a question.
Yeah, Chair, just one short question here, but it is important that we help and support the hospitality industry, especially at this time. Andrew, is there going to be a charge for this, or can people who are interested in get an e-ticket, or what way is that charge going to be? Because you see some of the tickets actually being sold out there at £300 and £400 for some of the conferences. Surely, if it's getting sponsorship and help and support from the council, Will these tickets for free, or at least at a minimum charge?
Through the chair, I can come back. There's a number of tickets that will be made available to council, but then in general, the tickets, the Hotels Federation will be targeting their members. So there's a number of hotels, for example, in the district that are members of the Hotels Federation. They'd be the event would be targeted at those members, but also then tickets would be sold as well for the event too. So there's a number of different routes, I suppose, for attendance in there, but it's predominantly for tourism and hospitality businesses, and it's not being run for a profit-making basis. It's to support the industry, so the charge for, if there is any charge, and we can clarify that, but it has been in the past relatively low for access to the events. It certainly wouldn't be £300 or £400, nowhere in the region of that.
Okay, Chair, I'm happy to propose that.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Councillor Mulgrew?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. I'm happy to second that. And you know, what Councillor Burgess has said is a very fair comment. You know, when we're trying to support businesses and the hospitality sector, you know, we really need to be making sure that any cost to them is at a minimum. The cost to council, obviously, is fairly insignificant, and everything that we can do to support our hospitality, which is a huge knock-on effect then on many other businesses and suppliers, is absolutely key. And I think it's an excellent idea that we support them in whatever way we can. So I'm very happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. Okay. The following items will be taken in closed session. That is item 8, the ERT procurement plan. The item number 9, the marketing framework business case, community engagement. Item number 10, Newry bid revote. Item number 11, Newry chamber events sponsorship. Item number 12, rent relief tourism facilities. Item number 13, update regarding service level agreements. And item number 14, tourism training pitches. So these items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information, and the public may be, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. So, can I have a proposer and a seconder? And I have Councillor Savage proposed, and Councillor Burgess has seconded. So if I just await the nod that said people have been removed, so it is closed.
Yes, Chair, all have been removed.
Okay.
This doesn't start immediately. No. Go ahead, Chair, that's fine.
Okay, thank you very much. So, item number 8, ERT procurement plan, on the proposal of Councillor Hannah, seconded by Councillor Ryan, it was agreed to approve the following as per report dated 8th of February 2021 from Mr. Mallon, Director, Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism, the ERT procurement plan as per Appendix 1, single tender actions as outlined in Appendix 2. Item number 9, marketing framework community and engagement services. On the proposal of Councillor Riley, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed Council proceed through procurement for the establishment of a framework arrangement for the provision of enterprise regeneration and tourism focused on communication and engagement services. Item number 10, Newry bid revote. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Savage, it was agreed based on the detail presented in the business plan, Council approve a vote in favour of the Newry bid renewal for the period 2021 to 2025. Item number 11, Newry Chamber Events Sponsorships. On the proposal of Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed Council issue a service level agreement to Newry Chamber of Commerce and Trade for sponsorship to events, North South Conference post-Brexit and Northern Ireland Small Business Conference. Item number 12, Rent Relief Tourism Facilities. On the proposal of Councillor Burgess, seconded by Councillor Savage, it was agreed rent relief for the period 23rd of March 2020, 16th of June for tenants at Cafe in Delamont Country Park in Kilbroney Park, Ross Trevor. Item number 13, update regarding service level agreements. On the proposal of Councillor Hannah, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed Kilkeel Development Association payments made as outlined in report dated 8th of February 2021 from Mr. A. Patterson, Assistant Director, Tourism, Culture and Events. No other further payment can be recommended for Downpatrick Railway Company as they will remain closed until beyond 31st of March 2021. Tourism trading pitches. On the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Savage, it was agreed to approve the business case as recommendation set out in report dated 8th of February 2021 from Mr. A. Patterson, Assistant Director, Tourism, Culture and Events, for a tender process to appoint trading pitches vendors at key tourism facilities to meet customer demand. Thank you, councillors. The following items are for noting. So if it would be much obliged if we go through them here, and if any issues can be taken up with the officer responsible. Item number 15, update regarding culture skip. Councillor Kern, do you have the question regarding item 15?
Sorry, I pressed the button too quick. Number 19, I want to ask a question.
No worries, that's good.
Sorry about that, Chair.
I'm locked and loaded now for that. Okay, item number 16, Castlemaine Forest Park Task and Finish Working Group. Councillor Hyle, sorry, is that an item number 16?
Yeah, just really quickly, Chair, if it's okay, just want to thank Aveen and Sally for facilitating the virtual consultation clinics that ran there during the month of January, and all those that got them to the stage. It was very worthwhile and very enjoyable. There's a lot of work, and I encourage anyone who hasn't fed into the consultation to do so for March. Just want to make that comment. Thanks, Chair.
No problem, Councillor Hill. And yes, you're quite correct. Item number 17 is the Confucius Institute service level agreement. Item number 18 is the ERT Historic Action Tracker Sheet. Item number 19 is the Labour Market Partnership and Town Centre Task Force. Is that what you're looking in on?
Yes, Chair. Thanks very much, Chair. I just would like to ask, what's the present position regarding the establishment of this partnership and town centre task force, because I think it's a very this type of task force is very helpful and very productive. And, you know, and working equality with DFC, you know, is a big way forward. And even they're paying the budget for it. So I'd just like to know, and especially with my own county town of Downpatrick, you know, it would be very helpful here. So I'd like to know what the present position is, because, as I said, it would be very, very helpful. And to other towns too as well, that hasn't got maybe chambers of commerce or people like that there. But I would just like to know the present position. Thank you, Chair.
No problem, Councillor Kern. Could that be picked up upon by anybody?
Sorry, I can just, those are initiatives that are, we are currently working to establish those terms. We'll be able to have those meetings, the Town Centre Task Force, convened over the next number of weeks, Chairman, to get that up and running, to get that work up and running.
Okay.
The Labour Market Partnership will be handled through the Economic Forum, and will be driven by potential funding from DFC. So we're working through that through the forum, Chairman.
Thank you. That's
very helpful, Chair. Thank you. I'm glad to know that that's going to happen in a few weeks' time.
Oh, okay. Councillor Andrews?
Chair, just to be brief, I'm getting used to all these buttons and microphones. No, I just would like to place record. I do wholeheartedly concur with my colleague, Councillor Carden, and about these fora, and I do welcome the developments that have arisen, and I look forward to seeing them up and working and in action over the coming weeks and months, because I think they're going to play a very important part in our towns and villages, and especially in those ones that don't have any, like the Chamber of Commerce or whatever. Again, to be welcome, and thanks for the update.
No, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Hannan?
Thanks for indulging me again. Just wanted to ask, is this task force per town, or is it for the whole area?
Chairman, of the
is it like an umbrella task
force? It really would be covering it wouldn't be one per town, it would be one task force for the whole district, looking at models of how we can face some of the ongoing issues that are facing all our towns, you know, how we look at reuse of our town centres, how we look at derelict buildings and all that sort of stuff. So it wouldn't be bespoke to each town. It would be more generic issues across the whole district.
And I would presume then it could feed into our work alongside the COVID recovery group as well. Okay. Thank you,
Councillor Hannan. Councillor Savage?
You know, just touching on what Jonathan had said there about how we use our town centres, you know, I think, you know, we'll have the COVID recovery group, but we'll also have the outworkings of our housing symposium and the dialogue that goes on there with the workshops. You know, I think it's important that we take on board the potential for sort of living above the shop as well as a potential solution for our town centres, and actually putting footfall directly into them. So, you know, I'd like to see that, if possible, been part of its remit in working with what comes out of our housing symposium in relation to the re-energising of our cities and town centres with people potentially living in them again.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Item number 20, planning performance figures, January 21. And final item for noting is the restocking of the Coyle River. Councillor Kern,
just have any reply from Dara in relation to this here? But the reason why I'm asking that question is because this has a potential tourist attraction here, and it had a long time ago. There was a lot of people that came down to fish in the Coyle that got there, but there's a lot of things that's happened to the Coyle with roads and things that got there, and I want to know what is the present position. We did write, I think, to Dara about this, so we did some time ago, and I don't see any reply back at the present time. But the only reason why I'm asking it is because it has potential for a tourist attraction, and I wonder what the position is along. It's not a council responsibility, as far as I know, in relation to restocking rivers. So, but I just want to know, is there no reply, and how could we ask? Could we maybe write to Dara and see what their thinking is on it if there's no reply at the present time?
Chair, I can come in there. The officers had been in contact with Dara with regards to this issue. I suppose the paper has given an update. We've been tasked with writing to other councils to gain their understanding of restocking fisheries and rivers within the respective districts. And following review of that information, unless councils own specific bodies of water or lakes, etc., they don't restock fish in the rivers, basically because it is in, under the remit of DIRA, and it can cost substantial money to do that on an annual basis. So officers have, you know, as I say, been in touch with DIRA and have, you know, requested their response in terms of that in restocking. But basically, it's they would review that in amongst their other priorities and budget cycles. And so we're waiting further feedback on that. But I don't suspect there's imminent plans for restocking the fish within the coil. It's suffice to say, Chair.
Well, I'm very disappointed to hear that. I know it's not a responsibility of council, so it's not like that. It is a DIRA responsibility in relation to elsewhere. And I think maybe we should write to them again and ask them exactly why they're not going to go down that line, because it has a potential for bringing income into the area.
We can take that away, Chair, yeah, and
okay,
get in contact with you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, very much for your help.
No problem, Councillor Curran. Great. Councillor Andrews.
Chairperson, thanks very much. Even though I'm not a member of this committee, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. You know, and I do think, you know, I'd like to thank the officer for giving us an update on the restart on the coil, but I'd also agree a lot with what Dermot Curran has to say, you know. And now's the time I've been around to the coil walking, and I bump into people down there, and people would tell me that the coil has that much potential. What the heck's gone wrong that it's not being utilised and promoted? You know, it's such a, it's so much history, so much beautiful scenery and everything. I know there's paths and all have been done, and bits of improvements, which will be very much welcome. You know, but I think as a council, that we should be working in partnership with, I see somebody's supposed to be having a good laugh at something, unless I've said something. But I do think that this council should be stepping up to working with partnership with the agencies and government departments and everything to utilise the coil and the local area too. I just feel that we have a lot to offer, and the coil is a major asset in our district. So I would like to, I know I can't propose that, but maybe we should look at the option of a coil working group to be set up and to work in partnership with the department and all, and other bodies involved, local reps as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hannan? Oh, sorry, Mr. Malin, you come in there, sorry.
No, sorry.
It's just to make a comment. Just obviously endorse what Councillor Curran and Councillor Andrews are saying. You know, the coil is a very important part of our district. But I know it's just to make the comment through RDEA that, you know, us as the five councillors have discussed the regeneration of the coil as well. So I'm not convinced that we need a separate working group for it. But certainly, you know, I can maybe chat even with Katrina Hines as a DEA coordinator to see what way we're going to progress with that. So it's just to give you that update, I suppose. Okay.
That's much appreciated. Cross DEA, cross party workings.
I'm in the Rowallan end, looking over the river at this. So, but no, I do welcome, you know, all everybody's hard work and input into this. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Does that then? Does that bring our this evening's meeting?
Sure, I haven't heard any response back again from the last comment that I made, that we should, that the officers should write to DIRA and ask them exactly what is the position in now in relation to, we don't know that position yet. And I think it's important what the rest of my colleagues have said there in relation to the coil. But I did ask a specific question. You know, yeah. I mean, would the officer write to DIRA now and find out what the position is in relation to this?
I think Mr. Patterson made that commitment. Would that be right?
Sorry, Chair. There's something wrong with my hearing tonight. And things are not going right for me. So
that's okay.
I apologize.
That's okay. Councillor Riley, I think we'll finish on this point, if that's okay. Or Councillor Riley, yep. You're on mute.
Chairman, just on the coil fisheries restarting,
the Whitewater River, some of the local fishermen are saying that the fish are very diseased in it and they want it some form of study done. But if the council could write to the Carnyford Foyle Commission and the and okay. the Rivers Agency and ask them to investigate it.
Could I ask you to bring that up with, I think, would that be someone, Mr. Patterson? Could you bring that with Mr. Patterson? Would that be the sort of thing that could be done?
That's all right.
Yep. Thank you. And sure, I think
sure, I'm sure, can I say a word there? Just here on that.
Yeah, sure.
As they are,
I think hang on, sorry, the guys, come on now. This is sort of descending here. Councillor McAteer is in for a comment, and then I'll bring Councillor Burgess in. But say these items are for noting, so they can be.
Yeah, information, just even through to Dermot. I understood that at probably two meetings ago, November, December's council meeting, that the DERA did write back with an explanation to the council about the whole stocking process, because we're talking about different sizes of types of fish. And but I think there's an explanation in previous correspondence going just back to the latter part of the year. So
thank you.
That information coming in.
Thank you. Councillor Burgess?
What was that relating to, Dagan? Sorry, Chairman.
It was, I mean, they responded about the coil. We had already written.
Oh, why the coil, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Councillor Burgess?
Well, that was a part of my question there too, just what Dagan and the others saying about, I thought I'd read somewhere where Dara had come back. But the other thing that they need to take another look at, how we actually keep the seals out. The seals have been fished dry, that's the problem. You only have to go along there and stand for a couple of minutes and there'll be a boy come floating along and pop his head up with you. There's no way that. He's beating him the back of the truck, so he would be.
It's like a big tourist attraction. Yeah. Come for a sea call.
Okay. Okay, I think all points have been made and dwelled upon. Can I draw this meeting to a close then, councillors, if that's okay? Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Percy.
Okay,
good to see everybody. It's
thank you. Good night. Bye now. Bye.
This is Rowan signing out.
Sign, seal, and deliver.
Right, Doc. Right, everybody.